right. 1 Chronicles chapter 13, in verse 1, says this: "And David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, If it seem good unto you that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and Levites, which are in the cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us. Verse 3, and let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. And all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. And so David gathered all his, David gathered all Israel together from Shihor of Egypt, even unto the entering of Hamath, to bring the ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim. That's a hard word to say. I've tried to practice it, but you know what it is. It's right there. Kirjath-Jearim, okay? All right. And David went up and all Israel to Bala, that is to Kirjath-Jearim, which belonged to Judah, to bring up thence the ark of God, the Lord, that dwelleth between the cherubims, whose name is called on it. Verse 7, and they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah in Ohio drave the cart. And David and all Israel played before God in all their might, with singing and with harps and with psalteries and with timbrels and with cymbals and with trumpets. And when they came to the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God." Now it goes on to say David was displeased. He feared the Lord. He was wondering what in the world happened. Why did Uzzah die? What did we do wrong here? And then after verse 14, in verse 14, "And the ark of God remained in the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months." Now chapter 14 is kind of what happened in those 3 months. In chapter 15, they tried again. And we'll be dealing with that in a short, we'll get to the high points. But we'll explain all that in just a second. The title of the message is this: good intentions do not always lead to good places. Okay? Good intentions do not always lead to good places. There's a middle part that's missing between good intentions and good places. Let's pray. We'll get into the message tonight. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, Lord, for this sermon and this passage that as we consider David and, Lord, what you wanted to do through him and what he wanted to do for you. And then, Lord, along the way, it went terribly wrong. And, Lord, as we consider why that is, I pray that you would help me as I deliver your word this afternoon to do so in a clear way that we can, Lord, listen and pay attention and, Lord, learn from you. And, Lord, even now in our hearts, say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. Christ in my prayer, amen and amen. Okay, so I kind of just jumped right into that, but I'll give you some context. So David, at this point, he's king. He became king of Israel. And just before this, he has taken the city of Jerusalem. And he took it from the Amalekites, I believe it is, or the Jebusites, and he defeated them and took the land of Jerusalem. And he had just made it capital of Israel. And so Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. And now David has a desire to make it not just the political center of Israel, but also the religious center of Israel. And the reason for that is he wanted everyone to know that it was not the palace that people are going to be looking to for leadership, but he wanted everyone to know that it was God that Israel would look to for leadership. And so a big part of that was to bring the Ark of God to Jerusalem. Now the Ark at this point is in Shiloh, but then it was stolen. It was in Shiloh. It was stolen in battle by the Philistines, who later returned it to Israel in Kirjath-Jearim. That's a terrible name. A poor child. Anyway, and so they brought the ark to Kirjath-Jearim, okay? And it has been there for about 100 years, and so that's where it was. And David, again, wanted to bring that ark to Jerusalem and make it the political center of Israel and the religious center of Israel. And that's a good intention. And I hope you can see that. That David, he was the king, and he could have just made it all about himself, and he had just taken Jerusalem, and he could have made the whole thing all about him and about how good a leader he was. But the palace was going to be there, but he wanted the Ark of God to be right there with him. And so David consulted with all of Israel and told them about his idea. And it says there, look in verse number 2, David said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you, and listen to this, and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad our brethren everywhere. And he calls everyone together. And so he brought all of Israel together, and he was seeking God's will, wasn't he? He wanted to make sure his good idea that he had and his great intentions, and he followed that up with, let's make sure this is what God wants. And he does that. And so he brings Israel together. He gets to the leadership of Israel. He brings all Israel together, and they decide, is this what God wants? Does God want the Ark of God to be here in Jerusalem? And the people agreed. They said that was a good idea, and they felt like it was of God. And so David had a good idea with good intentions, and he was on the track that God had him. He received counsel from all Israel, and it was a good idea. Well, now in verse 6, he starts to move the ark. Look at verse 6. And David went up and all Israel to Bala, that is to Kirjath-Jearim, which belonged to Judah, to bring up thence the ark of God, the Lord, that dwelt between the cherubims, whose name is called on it. Verse 7, and they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab. And so they go and they get a cart, and they put the ark on the cart, and they begin to cart the ark of God to Jerusalem so that he can carry out this good idea that's most likely from God. And they carried the ark of God on a new cart. And all of Israel praised God with all of their might. Well, problem. During the journey, here's what happened. As it was on the cart, the oxen stumbled, and then the ark began to shake. You can imagine how scary that was, the ark of God. And I'm not, for sake of time, going to describe to you exactly what the ark of God is, but it represents the very presence of God. It's a big deal. And the ark of God is shaking. And Uzzah sees that. And Uzzah has great intentions. Uzzah doesn't want the ark to fall down. Who wants the ark to fall down? And so he sticks up his hand, and he touches the ark, and he dies. Right there. He dies. And it's obvious the Lord struck him down. And so when that happened, David was displeased. And it says David feared God, and he was wondering what he did wrong. How was he supposed to carry the ark? Can I say that again? Now he's beginning to wonder, how is he supposed to carry the ark? That's a great question. And so for now he knows that's a great question now. It's a little too late. Uzzah has already died. But for 3 months, he begins to look and figure out, what in the world am I supposed to do about this? Well, something, chapter 14, like I told you, it kind of gets away from that story, and it's a totally different story. We won't deal with that, but basically give account of things that happened during those 3 months. But something else happened during those 3 months. David searched the scriptures. I don't know if you noticed throughout the whole this time, but David never mentioned the scriptures. He said, hey, I have a good idea. We set Jerusalem as the capital. You know what we should do? What we should do is bring the ark down. And then let's ask the elders, and let's get counsel, and let's ask everybody, let's get counsel. But nowhere is he really getting with God on this and looking at the scriptures at all. So for 3 months, here's what he did. Oops, I need to make sure I check the scriptures on this. And so he does. And here's how a lot of things began to change. And now he has new plans to carry the ark. And here's the plans. He prepared a place and pitched a tent for the ark, probably similar to the tabernacle and the law of Moses. And so this is all in first chapter 15. We'll get to there in a second. But in chapter 15, he sets a place for the ark to be, and he pitches a tent. And again, if you are a Bible reader, you know, during the wilderness journeys, that's where the ark was. It was in a tabernacle in a tent. Now look in verse 2. And David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. Now, how did he know that? Well, that's what the law of Moses said. He went back and checked the law of Moses, and he found out, oops, no one's supposed to carry the ark except for the Levites, which Uzzah was not. David then brought all Israel again, but this time only the Levites were a part of moving the ark. Why? Because that's what the law of Moses said. He had the Levites move the ark. Look at verse 15, chapter 15, verse 15. And the children of Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon. This is very important. As Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord. And so David is changing all of his methodology here. Do you see that? His plans are totally different. Listen, this is really important. I'm bringing you to a place here, okay? As fast as I can. But David had a good plan. David wanted to make sure his plan was of God. And now he's carrying out the plan the way God said. That's the big difference here. And now things are different. He searched the scriptures and he made sure everything that he was doing aligned with what the scripture said. Even the way they praised God was different. If you look in verse 13, it just says they all praised him with all their might. But for a good amount of scripture, a good amount of verses in chapter 15, there's a lot of thought and preparation put into the music they played. There's a lot of thought and preparation put into the songs that they sang. And so look in verse 12 and 13. And he said unto them, unto the Levites, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourself, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. Look at verse 13. Here's what David found out. For because ye did it not at the first, who's ye? The Levites. David is saying, look at the first time we messed up. We had good intentions, but we didn't really seek God about it. We didn't see what the scriptures say about it. And we just kind of did what we thought was best. And he said, because he did it not the first, Levites, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. After the due order. And so then in verse 26 it says, look at verse 26. And it came to pass when God helped the Levites that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, that they offered seven bullocks. And so, back up again. The first time they attempted this, they didn't search the scriptures. They had a good idea. They came up with their own method, their own strategy to make sure this idea is taking place. They messed up. They didn't see God. Breach. Uzzah died. Run number two. They search the scriptures, do everything according to what the scriptures say, and now it says God helped them. Now you might ask, where in the world did they get the idea about the new ark? Have you been thinking that this whole time? I mean, the new cart. Why did they decide to transfer the thing on the new cart? I mean, it was written in the Old Testament. That's how they always carried the ark up until this point. What in the world caused David to go ahead and take the ark on the new cart? Well, he didn't just come up with it all on his own. You can lose your place here. Go to 1 Samuel 6. 1 Samuel 6. First Samuel chapter 6, verse 1. And the ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. And the Philistines called for the priests and the diviners, saying, what shall we do to the ark of the Lord? Tell us wherewith we shall send it to his place. Verse 3, and they said, if ye send away the ark of God of Israel, send it not empty, but in any wise return him a trespass offering, that ye shall be healed, and it shall be known to you why his hand is not removed from you. Here's what happened is the Philistines came and they defeated Israel in battle and they took the Ark of God. And that was a big no-no. The Ark of God's a big deal to God. And they took the Ark of God and they took it to the Philistines and they thought they were going to celebrate and talk about how much better their gods are than the God of Israel. Well, it didn't work out that way for them. They got really sick. And we're not going to deal with the illness that they got, but they're like, we need to get this ark out of here. That's what chapter verses 1 through 3 is about. How can we get this ark out of here? Now look in verse number 7. How are they going to get that ark out of here? Can I pause for a second? So the Philistines decided they want to move the ark. The Philistines said, God probably wants us to move the ark. And so here's what the Philistines did to move the ark. Verse 7. And when the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, the ark of God of Israel shall not abide with us, for his hand is sore upon us and upon Dagon our God. They sent therefore and gathered all the lords of the Philistines unto them and said, what shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel? And they answered, let the ark of the God of Israel be carried unto Gath. And they carried the ark of God of Israel thither. And it was so, let's see. Oh, where's the new part? I know it's right there. Oh, am I missing it? Oh, I'm like, hey, this is all going along with the story. Yeah, chapter 6, verse 7. Yeah, we were getting it. Now, therefore, make a new cart. There it is. Boom. Make a new cart. And so this is the Philistines' idea. Therefore, make a new cart and take two mince kiln. And they explain how they made the cart. And by the way, new cart means a really fancy cart. And so they wanted to impress the God of Israel. And so they made this new cart. And so David, listen, when David, here's where I'm getting to. When David and Israel wanted to move the ark of God, what did they do? They didn't turn to scriptures. Instead, they turned to the Philistines. And they said, how did the Philistines move the ark of God? They looked to the Philistines for a good strategy instead of looking to scripture for instructions. Can I say that again? When David wanted to move the ark of God, he turned to the Philistines for a good strategy instead of looking to the scriptures for instructions. They found out that the Philistine way wasn't working and took 3 months to find out what was the biblical way of doing it. Yeah. So why are you telling all this to me, Brother Chad? Unfortunately, Christians often have good intentions of serving God. Like they know what God wants for them. They know what their life is supposed to look like, what God wants for them. But then they look to the Philistine way of serving him. Well, what do you mean? Well, let's just throw some out there. Parenting. You know, often parents have a desire to raise their children, and they want their children to be raised for God, but then they turn to Philistia for parenting methods. Are you following? And God has a method for parenting. And listen, God is not only concerned that we raise our children for God, but he is also concerned how we raise our children for God. And God has given us a plan to do that. Our finances. Christians have a plan for their finances and they want to honor God with their finances, but instead of looking to Scripture for instructions on how to handle their finances, they turn to the world's strategies for finances. Because listen, often man tends to think that how they serve God, listen, men tend to think that how they serve God is not important as long as they have the right intentions. Are you following me? But God is just as concerned about how we serve him as he is why we serve him. God cares about why we serve him, but he also cares about how we serve him. And so what I'm saying is we need to run our good ideas through scripture. We often try to use the world's methods and strategies to accomplish godly goals, but often we forget God has the answers for life already in the Word of God. Listen, it's not enough just to have a good intentions to serve God, but we need to turn to the Word of God to find out exactly how God wants us to accomplish those godly goals that he gives us. Yeah. Well, what is that all about? Well, how about church growth? Let's think about that. Does God want a lot of people in Valley Avenue Baptist Church? No. He wants us to reach people. He wants people to be in the doors of Valley Avenue Baptist Church. But oftentimes, churches know that, and they know that God wants us to reach people for him, but oftentimes what happens is we forget to look to the scriptures for how we're supposed to do that, and we look to the world, and we look at marketing strategies, and we look at what entertains the world, but instead what we ought to do is just follow God's plan. And God's plan is to preach the word. God's plan is to preach biblical doctrine and teach biblical doctrine and proclaim what God says. God's plan is to worship God at church and live differently in the world. And then the world sees how Christians live and they want to come and worship God that way. That's God's plan for church growth. Yeah. How about music? Music is a big part of that. And God has, a lot of people have good intentions with using music. And they say, look, if we want to reach the world, then what we need to do, here's what we need to do, is we need to sound like the world so that the world wants to come here and they want to hear the music. And then if they get here, then maybe they can hear the preaching. But God has different plans for music. God's plans are not to use music for reaching people, but instead music is designed to glorify God. Yeah. And so what I'm telling you is just because we have good intentions doesn't mean that we're doing things the way God has us to do them. To grow a youth group. And God wants us to have a big youth group. Well, how do you know that? Because God wants to see our youth serve Him. God wants to see the youth of Fall City, the teenagers of Fall City, follow God and learn about the gospel. Of course, God wants a lot of people in our youth group, but that doesn't give us license to grow our youth group however we want to grow our youth group. It doesn't give us license to throw away the rest of Scripture in between where the youth are now and youth being here at church. God has other plans, and God wants our youth to serve God. God wants our youth to have standards and to stay away from ungodly lifestyle and practice. And so we have to just trust God's methods and allow God to bless. I'm afraid that oftentimes we look to Philistia for how to serve God. What does that have to do with our youth group? Well, what about our dress? Philistia says to dress to attract. God says that's vain and you should dress modestly. Philistia says masculinity and femininity are toxic. But God says He created you male and female. And you should embrace your gender because it's an important part of what God has for you. Philistia has music. Philistia says music exists to express your innermost unrestrained feelings of anger, depression, rebellion, and pride. God says He created music for His praise. God says music exists to express godly feelings of thankfulness, adoration, beauty, and sobriety. And so what I'm telling you is that we cannot look to Philistia to serve God, because Philistia and God have different goals. They might look the same at times. Philistia wanted to move the ark of God, didn't they? But even their intentions were wrong. Why did they want to move the ark of God? Well, because they didn't want to serve the God of Israel, and they were being judged by the God of Israel. But just because the world's doing something that we're doing doesn't mean we look to them for advice, you see. Because God's already given us a plan. God's already given us a plan. And so I'm just simply saying, I want us to have good intentions and I want us to serve the Lord, but it's of the utmost importance that we trust God's methods. And God is concerned why we serve God. And I think there's a danger of us doing the methods and doing the methodology and coming to church and reading our Bible and dressing right and dressing the part and doing all of the methods that God tells us to do without the right intentions. There's a danger there, isn't there? For us to do all the methodology, but mostly so people see us, but not really for God. There is a danger there. We have to have the right intentions, but we also have to have the right methods as well. We have to have both. Otherwise, we're going to end up like Uzzah. But whenever we look to the Scriptures and we have God's intention and we have God's goals, and then we couple that, listen, we couple God's goals with God's methods, then what we have is, like God said, what David said with the Levites, that God helped the Levites move the cart. I think oftentimes, here's what happens. We know what God wants us to do. And you ever heard the phrase, the ends justify the means? And we know God's ends. We know God wants our youth group to grow. We know God wants our church to grow. We know God wants our kids to listen and obey and live for God. We know all of these things. But then often, sometimes at least, we look at the way God says to do that, and we think, well, I have a better way. And that's kind of what David did. I mean, think about it practically. Would you rather push the huge golden ark on a cart, or would you rather carry it with staves? And if we're looking at pragmatically what in our mind thinks it feels like a better idea and a more effective way, then we're going to miss it along the way. It doesn't matter what looks right to us or what feels right to us or what strategy we feel is going to be most effective. Here's all that matters. How does God tell us to do it? And His ways are higher than ours. And as we trust God's way, listen, as we trust God's way in our parenting, as we trust God's way in our finances, boys, girls, and the youth, as we trust God's way about how to get the right attention, you know, some of the youth want people's attention. And God says a lot about having a good name and people noticing you when you serve and all that, but sometimes they try to get attention the wrong way. Don't do that. You just keep serving God. You keep doing what God wants. As you want a relationship and you might want to make things happen, well, God has a plan for that. And sometimes our youth will say, well, I know that, but if I follow God's plans, I'll never get married. Well, you just trust God. You just trust God. And if we trust God in both our goals and we just trust His process, we'll watch as God helps us along and accomplishes His purposes in our life. Don't look to Philistia. They make it look good. And they make it look easy. And they make it look more efficient. Where we need to look is to what the Scriptures say and what God says, so we can trust that. Lord, thank You so much for Your Word. Thank You that we can trust You. Thank You for giving us the Word of God, Lord, so that we can both know how to live this life, but then how we also can know what You want us to do throughout each step. And we can just trust Your way. And Lord, it's not hidden from us. It's right here in the Word of God. Help us to search the Scriptures as David did. And even if it takes months to figure it out, Lord, help us to study and to find out exactly how You would have us to serve You, exactly how You would have us to glorify You with our lives. Lord, we love You. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Brother.